Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast, providing an exclusive look into efforts to conserve the wild things and wild places in Texas.
Hello and welcome to the Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast. I'm Lydia Saldana with Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. Today, we're going to check in with Texas Game Warden Graham Jones to learn more about the work our wardens do on the front lines. He's the Chief of Special Operations in the Law Enforcement Division at Texas Parks and Wildlife Department. Thanks for joining us today, Graham.
Thanks, Lydia. I appreciate being here.
Now, of course, Texas Game Wardens have a long and storied history, but lots of folks might not realize the scope of our warden force. Can you give us an overview of what y'all do?
Absolutely, Lydia. You know, Texas Game Wardens, it's interesting. We don't have just a simple day. We have a lot of diverse activities that go on every day. We've been around since 1895. We have 551 game wardens across our great state. Related to our mission, we honor and respect our heritage, but we also look a lot towards the future. We're the only conservation law enforcement association organization in Texas, and as I said, we work water safety, we work hunting and fishing enforcement, homeland security, emergency management, disaster response. So we have a lot going on.
Okay. Now, this time of year, what are the wardens out there doing this time of year?
We're doing a lot of hunting activities and hunting enforcements. Teal season and dove season teal season just ended, but we have dove season going on. The south zone just opened, and we're also doing a lot of water safety. Folks are still out on the lakes and on the waterways. The temperatures are still warm, and then we're going to be transitioning into the deer season soon, and so things will change a little bit for us.
Now, tell me a little bit more about your team and what your responsibilities are.
Well, we're all one big team, but as far as special operations goes, it includes our criminal investigation division, our statewide search and rescue, which also includes our canine officers and canine partners, marine theft. We do investigate stolen boats and stolen watercraft as well, our dive and recovery team, tactical operations. We also includes our statewide programs, boating law enforcement, wildlife enforcement, and fisheries enforcement. We also are primarily the primary liaison with the Texas legislature as well. So, we deal with committee hearings and answering questions from the legislature.
And I know that season is coming up soon. Now, for the last couple of years, it seems like there's been a lot of pretty harrowing weather situations, including a lot of flooding. How did the wardens get involved in that, and is this something that they've always been doing?
Yes, absolutely, Lydia. Texas Game Wardens are on the front lines of search and rescue and have been. In fact, sadly, our first game wardens to die in the line of duty died during a search and rescue mission in 1919 just outside of Corpus during a hurricane. They were trying to rescue folks during that hurricane. Since then, certainly have become very, very active. We responded to every large-scale natural disaster in the state since then. We respond to hurricanes and floods and ice storms and tornadoes and all those things because we have the equipment to be in those areas. Obviously, we have a large vessel fleet as well, and our game wardens are experts at operating those vessels, whether they're airboats or shallow water draft boats or larger vessels. So, we also work very closely with the Texas Department of Emergency Management and DPS on larger scale natural disasters such as hurricane response. So, we're very active in that and have been active. In the last year, we've rescued over 1,800 Texans. Most of those were due to flooding in East Texas and along the Texas coast around Fort Bend County and Brazoria County as well.
Now, I guess you probably see all those rescue reports. Anything in particular jump out in terms of something being really notable? I guess they're all notable. For the person being rescued, they're certainly all notable. But anything in particular jump out at you?
Well, they are notable, and I'll tell you, I couldn't be more proud of our folks for what they do in these types of situations, because many of those rescues that I mentioned are life-saving. Several of those, in fact, a couple that come to mind, was one elderly man was on top of his car in a flooded creek that had gone over a roadway. And our game wardens actually went out and rescued him from the vehicle at night. We couldn't see him. We knew he was there, and with the help of a helicopter, we were able to locate him and take him to safety. We also helped out a lady that had a double lung transplant, was trapped in her house during a flood. We actually, the water was all the way up to her second story in her home, and our game wardens were able to get her out of that house, along with her pets, too, and get them all to safety. So, yeah, there's lots of those examples. And, of course, you know, we're part of a team, too. We're not doing this alone, but we're a very, very important part of the response as far as the state response goes.
You know, I saw footage of that rescue of the woman in Wimberley on Lone Star Law, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it was, I mean, it's one thing to read the report, and it's another thing to see it actually happening. But again, we'll talk about Lone Star Law in a minute. You just mentioned the canine unit. That's fairly new to the department. Is that correct?
It is. We've been operating a canine unit for approximately 3 years, and I'll tell you, I couldn't be more pleased with the help that the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation has given us as far as helping out both financially and with just general support of that program. We couldn't do it without the foundation. And I do want to say that. But as far as the canine program goes, we're of every dog we have, we operate 10 teams across the state, and every one of our canines is certified and trained in search and rescue tracking, also wildlife detection, and then some narcotics detection. Because our game wardens are in areas a lot of times in very rural areas and isolated areas, and we run across all sorts of things. And as state peace officers, we have to be able to take care of those situations too. But we're really proud of the search and rescue effort that these canines are able to lend towards the folks in our state when they become lost.
Well, we appreciate the mention of the work that the foundation does to support the canine unit. And as you know, and I'll share with our listeners, we did a little fundraising effort for some cooling vests for the canine unit a couple of weeks ago. And we met the fundraising goal within half an hour of the email going out. So everybody loves the canine unit.
Yeah, and I'll add that, you know, like you said, everyone loves the dogs. And there's just a quick example of during a search and rescue where a individual and her child were hoisted by helicopter. And, of course, that's even though they're being rescued, it's a pretty scary situation for those kids. And the kid was crying, and as the helicopter was lowering the basket down, and she looked over and saw one of our canines with one of our game warden handlers, and immediately ran over to that dog, and life was a little bit better. And that's another aspect that these dogs certainly can bring as far as the outreach goes. And of course, also, you know, we visit lots of schools every year, and we do a lot of outreach and education with these canines.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't think about that function of education and outreach. Tell me a little bit about that with the canines and with other efforts that y'all do.
Well, our game wardens, it's interesting, Lydia, our game wardens are required by policy to do a minimum amount of outreach and education every year. But I'll tell you, we don't have to have the requirement because they want to do it. And it's also tied into recruitment because we recruit future game wardens at a very early age. We start, you know, in middle school a lot of times, and in high school. We have lots of game wardens that their dream, you know, years ago was to become a Texas game warden early on. So we love meeting those kids out in schools. And, you know, our game wardens all break I think they're required to do a couple a year, and most game wardens do closer to 10 outreach and education programs. So
I don't think I've ever met a game warden that wasn't an overachiever. So that's that's good to hear.
Now, yeah, we're proud of that a lot. Yeah.
Well, now we've been talking about outreach, and I mentioned Lone Star Law, which I think you can consider that an outreach and recruitment tool. For those in our audience that maybe don't know about Lone Star Law, tell us about it.
Well, Lone Star Law is a TV series that airs on Discovery Networks and Animal Planet. Basically, follows game wardens across the state, their day-to-day activities, which, as the viewers will see, again, as I mentioned before, is very diverse. But yeah, it allows a couple of things. It's a great recruitment tool, but it also lets people know what game wardens in Texas do and across the country, because many states are very similar to us as far as what we do every day. But yeah, we're proud of the show. We've gotten lots of comments and letters and emails and but also on social media as far as folks that have seen the show and now want to be Texas game wardens. So we're very happy with the show.
Now, speaking of that, I understand that the latest cadet class has been chosen for the next academy. Can tell me a little bit about that?
It has, yeah. We sent out conditional job offers to 40 potential cadets. The academy would start in January. It's in just outside of Hamilton, Texas, at the Game Warden Training Center. So that'll kick off in January. It's the longest in residence academy in the state at 7 months. Of course, we also require a 4-year college degree before that. But we couldn't be more proud of our instructors and more proud of our academy.
Okay. So I was just out there a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't been in a couple of years, and I was really surprised at the progress out there.
Well, it has. We're finishing up building the dorms, the dormitory living areas for the cadets. And again, the Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation has been instrumental in assisting us in locating sponsors that want to help financially as far as that academy goes. And we just cannot say enough about that.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, as we close this conversation up, I want for you to tell your story. How did you become a game warden?
Well, I grew up in walking distance to the Houston Astrodome, so I wasn't necessarily in a rural area by any stretch of the imagination. But I had a neighbor that hunted and fished a lot. His dad hunted and fished a lot, and I was 8 or 9 years old, and they invited me to go along one day, and I got hooked. I can tell you that's sometimes what it takes is getting these kids out, showing them, what's available outside, hunting and fishing, boating, and sometimes that's all it takes. And I think that again, we can get caught up in on the iPhones or caught up on the computer, but we have to get outside and we have to remember to take our kids outside as well.
Okay. Now, what are some of the interesting experiences you've had as a warden? I mean, I know you have more of a desk job now than you used to, but some interesting experiences.
Yeah, I'm safe in my cubicle in Austin, Texas these days, but I can tell you that I think the most important, personally to me, after meeting and working with many Texas game wardens and officers from other agencies, was the response to Katrina. I consider it a blessing to have been able to go to Katrina after Hurricane Katrina to New Orleans, and in that response we had 111 Texas game wardens with 50 vessels that went to New Orleans and rescued over 5,000 people. Many of those were from hospitals. So that probably stands out to me as one of my most important moments as a Texas game warden.
That's amazing. I remember that time well. Now, what should folks do if they're interested in becoming a warden? What should folks do?
Well, I think the most important thing, and of course we get this question a lot, I think the most important thing if someone wants to be a Texas game warden is to meet a Texas game warden. Go find your local game warden. You can access the website. There's actually a tab on the Texas Parks and Wildlife website that's the game warden tab. It's find your local game warden. It'll give you a phone number. You can call them. You can call one of your nearest law enforcement offices or the local sheriff's office. Meet your game warden. Spend some time with your game warden. You can also, I think, learn a lot from the Lone Star Law TV show. And then, of course, follow us on Facebook and social media and Twitter. We put a lot of information out on social media daily, and that sort of can help give you some of that foundation. But stay out of trouble, because we have lots of prospective game wardens that they ask what college they should go to or what should they major in. The most important thing is really to stay out of trouble, meet your game warden, and do well in college. And that's really my recommendation.
Okay. You mentioned social media, so that's the perfect opening for me to do a little plug for the Parks and Wildlife Foundation photo contest for October, which is take a selfie with your favorite game warden. And so we certainly hope that folks will look up that information on our website and through social media. And I hope you'll help us promote that, Graham.
Absolutely will, and I'll tell you something. There's lots of opportunities out there. You know, in Texas, every year over 2 million people fish, over a million people hunt, over 4 million people view wildlife, and you know, those people are out there. We're out there. There's a lot of opportunity for those, for your listeners to meet Texas game wardens. We'll be happy to talk to them and even be happy to take a selfie with them.
All right. Thanks a lot, Graham. Thanks for sharing all of this information. We really appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much, Lydia.
Till next time, thanks for listening.
Texas Parks and Wildlife Podcast is brought to you by Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation, supporting high-impact conservation projects across the state. Find out how you can help at tpwf.org.